and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I was trying to think of a verse that would really sum up this past year at Baptist College of Ministry in a really kind of a nutshell way, because time doesn't permit me to tell all that the Lord has done. It's really been an incredible journey. If I were to say that God has changed my life through this year, that would be an understatement. The David Szymanski that you knew a year ago has died. He doesn't live anymore. And by God's grace, he's not coming back. The Lord has done, there's a verse that says, the Lord has done great things for them, whereof we are glad. Well, the Lord has done great things exceeding abundantly and above all that I could have thought, asked or thought. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Really, the last month, the Lord has really pressed this verse upon my heart. Just as a series of things, the Lord has constantly been challenging me over this year at Baptist College Ministry, without fail, day by day, challenging me facing me with a truth, a further step of faith along that journey. But it all comes down ultimately to this. Verse 18 of chapter 6. Talking about the promise that God made to Abraham, which God made a promise and then he confirmed it by an oath. And verse 18 says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Over this past year, God has challenged me in many ways to believe that that verse is genuinely true. Not just in my head, but in every aspect of my life. And that is something that Baptist College of Ministry really has as a goal. You don't go there and resist being changed, because it's a place where the Spirit of God is given the free course to work. And if a young person goes there willing, with an open heart, to do what the Lord has, God will change that person. God will do great things. Think back last year when I first went up to Baptist College of Ministry. I had some savings, but not really enough to even complete my first year at Baptist College of Ministry. But the Lord provided along the way financially just time and time again. I think especially of earlier this year, I had a major car repair bill in excess of $1,500. And it was a necessity. I didn't have a choice about it. I had to get it taken care of and did not have the money. Nor did I have the money to pay for my tuition for that month. Well, make a long story short, the Lord used some new things with my position as a student. When I did my taxes, I not only got the money necessary to pay for the car, but also for the school bill. And that was something that I definitely, first of all, was not expecting. But I hadn't even asked the Lord for it, because I didn't think about it. I didn't think it was a possibility. But the Lord has demonstrated to me several key promises in His Word. And again, it all goes back to that fact that He's been working on teaching me that it is impossible for God to lie. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The first time I really sat down and meditated on that verse, the Lord asked me, do you believe that? And I thought, well, yeah, Lord, I believe it. That's what it says. It's a promise. But He pressed me and He said, do you believe it? Are you willing to let go of your escape routes, to let go of your other supports, and put your trust in me alone for your finances? And that was a struggle. One that It's still hard, Pastor, even now to really grapple with it. But that's what God has challenged me with. But not only that, but the consideration that every single promise that God has given us in His Word is not only true in our minds, but it needs to be true in our lives. The best example of this is the trip that we took to New York City just a month ago now. You know, that trip, it was at my fellowship, the Taylor Fellowship. About 16 of us went to New York City. We didn't know exactly what to expect. All we knew is that we were going to help some church planters. We were going to do some soul winning, a little bit of street evangelism, help out with some of the church programs. We didn't know exactly what we were getting into. But we did know that God had convinced us of the fact that we needed to see the hand of God. God had convinced us of the fact that we needed to see souls saved, and that we needed to see every single member of the fellowship lead a soul to Jesus Christ. That was something the Lord convinced us of. As we got there, just to tell the story, the Tuesday night that we were heading in, everything was going okay from a human perspective till about 8 o'clock. The day had been a pretty typical trip when you've got a bunch of people in the same van for hours and hours. A lot of jabbing at each other, jokes and stuff like that. Just nothing real spiritual, not very edifying. But as we approach the city, and this tells you how God typically works at this school. This is a very typical thing. As we got about an hour and a half away, 2 hours from New York City, and the Spirit of God came on that van that we were in. And there was such a spirit of conviction, getting right with each other, getting on praying ground. And it's interesting, Pastor, as soon as we got right with God and got on praying ground and got on the ground of faith, the trip really, from a human perspective, got really bad. All of a sudden. As that happened, we had a major storm come up out of nowhere. A very heavy storm. It got dark very early. It was very unnatural in the way it felt. And we were driving on the highway, 65, 70 miles an hour, and we entered into a very heavy rainstorm. And we're in the middle of this rainstorm, and I'm driving at this point, and all of a sudden the windshield wipers on our van broke. Going 65 miles an hour, heavy rain. And so I'm driving blind, basically. But there was something about it that was clearly not normal. It was not natural. There was clearly the work of Satan involved. And so our group started praying. I claimed the victory of Jesus Christ, prayed in faith. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, there was this rest area. Now, we were in New Jersey at this point, and my family can tell you there's only one rest area in New Jersey. You don't come across rest areas in New Jersey just like that. It doesn't happen. But it was there we were able to pull over, get the problem fixed, and continue on. But there was still a spirit of oppression. There was still that clear feeling that Satan was hindering. And all of a sudden, it gets foggy at this point. The rain is not as heavy, but it's foggy. All of a sudden, a car veered right into my lane, inches from me. And before I had a chance to respond, I had already moved out of the lane. I didn't even see the car coming. And had already moved out of the lane. I know that the hand of God was protecting us for a reason, and all of us knew it. And when we got to New York City, we were ready. We knew God brought us there for a reason. Satan had interfered for a reason because Satan was afraid. Satan was afraid of the power that was about to be exercised. And the power of God was exercised. The first day we went out, and went out to Brooklyn, of all places. That's where we started. And went out to Brooklyn and preached on the streets. And for me, that was a new experience. But there was something about that. When I was called upon to, to preach, the first thing, my first thought was, I can't do this out here. This is ridiculous. What am I thinking? Preaching out in the streets? That's ridiculous. But then I remembered God's words to Jeremiah. He said that I will be with thee. I will put my words in thy mouth. I will be with thee to help thee. So I took that promise and I started preaching on the streets there. And from that moment on, through the rest of the trip, the pastor, boldness that I had never known before in my life, an incredible level of boldness. Our whole team, we would just walk up to people all over the place and just go right into the gospel with them. No preliminaries, nothing. Just, if you died right now, are you 100% sure that you would have eternal life? Straight into the gospel, boldness and clarity, a passion and compassion that was very visible. Two souls were saved that morning when we went out. And the next day, we went out to a smaller community just outside of Queens. Everybody kind of knew the pastor there already. It was kind of small town feel. And we spent a good portion of the morning street preaching, street evangelism. Saw a couple people saved there. But there wasn't a real sense that there was a real open field there. We sensed the power of God, but just not a real open field. That afternoon, we went out again. And we spent an hour in the local parks there. Just 1 hour. And in that hour, 11 souls came to Jesus Christ. We had team members walking up to these teenagers who had piercings everywhere, tattoos all over the place, hard on the outside as hard could be, but in desperate need of the gospel. And these BCM students went up to them, engaged them, started going through the gospel with them. And I know of at least four of those hard-looking teenagers came to Jesus Christ so clearly that day. It was incredible to see. Then the day after that, that Saturday, we went out into another area. Its nickname is Little India there in New York. And it really is. There's people from India, Pakistan, Iran, Afghanistan. Really, and it's very much, it feels like you're in one of those countries down in that area. And we were right down in the middle of them, took out our banner and started preaching the gospel. Preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way. Right across, there was a Muslim standing on the street corner across from this Muslim shop owner. Wasn't very happy about what we were doing. But a lot of the Muslims, Hindus around there did stop to talk, and a lot of them were under clear conviction. A lot of them knew what we had to say was the truth. The power of God was there. The Holy Spirit was witnessing to the truth. And that was exciting. That was very freeing to be able to street preach in that situation. But that wasn't as good as what God did that afternoon. That afternoon, we decided, well, we're going to go door to door. So we did that. We did that for a good 45 minutes to an hour. And we had some good contacts, but it really wasn't that effective. We didn't really sense any openings. There weren't people who were home really didn't want to talk. There really wasn't an opportunity. So we started to get back together, and we saw this park nearby. A lot of people over there. So let's go over there. Let's go invade the enemy's territory a little bit over there. And we went in there. And we had not planned this. We had planned to leave at 4 o'clock. Well, we didn't leave until 5 o'clock. Because in that hour that we were there, 16 souls were saved. Amen. The Lord gave each member of that fellowship more than one soul. We saw 34 souls saved on that trip and 16 team members working there. Amen. But there was a real sense as we got near the end, as we got to Saturday, there were several who had not yet won a soul to Christ during the week. And this is where that verse comes back. It is impossible for God to lie. They cried out to God. They said, God, it is your will for us to win souls. That's clear. You called us to reap. Lord, we're taking that promise by faith. And they went out, and God gave them souls. God worked. I could share so much more. But again, what God has taught me the most, and is still teaching me, is that it's time for us to take that verse for what it says, that it is impossible for God to lie. and to see that lived out in our life. I believe firmly that if one man believed that verse in truth and through his life, this world would be changed by the power of God. And if it was more than one man, a whole church, a whole college, multiple churches that took that promise at face value, we would see such a revival as this world has never seen before. Amen. God has convinced me of that fact, and He's still teaching me that. But that, in summary, is what this year has meant to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Take.
What I would really want y'all to pray for me is use to the Lord to use me to touch as many hearts as possible.
Okay, I guess the thing that I would be requesting prayer for is God gave me a verse this morning about not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And my prayer is that I would each day have the faith to claim that promise.
I want y'all to pray for a boldness for me and also tender hearts for those kids down there and for us as well, especially me, and that that will touch hearts and that God would prepare the hearts as we're preparing to go.
The biggest thing for me, for those of you who've been to the Dominican before, y'all will understand this, but energy to be around the kids and work with them all day, and the Lord's Spirit in all that I do.
I would just like y'all to pray for me to for the Lord to give me the words to say, because I'm not a very big speaker, so just pray for me about that.
I would like y'all to pray for me to have patience and to not get distracted while doing the Lord's work.
I'd like y'all to pray that they would just be able to see Jesus in me and also for our protection.
Amen. You can pray Ephesians 6:19 for me. It says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel."
Amen. That my life would reflect Christ, that I'd have that constant fellowship with Him, that I would be able to discern and have wisdom to be able to deal with every situation and teach everything that God gives me to teach.
My prayer, what I'd like y'all to pray for me, is that God will fill me with His Spirit so that they can see Jesus in me and want that in their own lives.
Amen. We've been working on this for the past 6 months. These kids have come to church for 2 or 3 Sundays a month all afternoon and worked on Spanish. Some of them had never seen a Spanish word before, and they're singing these songs in Spanish that we'll be able to declare the name of the Lord. And now that all the work is done, that we'll be able to rest in the Lord, that we empty ourselves of ourselves and just let Jesus take over the work. Romans 6:22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." So the end result, the end goal of this English camp is everlasting life for many souls. And we just pray that we can do nothing of ourselves and that Christ would do the work in us. And we're just going to depend on Him for that. Thank you.